I'm tired of James. Let's talk about Paul. Yeah. How do you teach the Bible and smoke a cigar? Same way I teach it when I don't smoke a cigar. I like this one. I want to do this one again. I've done this before, but I think I should do it again. I want to teach on them fornicators in the tent. They zealously affect you. Verse 17, Galatians, 4th chapter. Skip down to the 21st verse. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. Now, who are those people? Well, there are those that turn again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. There are those that want to be a servant and not an heir. That's the 4th chapter. There are those that want to be bewitched, that they should not obey the truth. That's the 3rd chapter. They are those that want to be peeped on in the urinal. That's the 2nd chapter. They are those that are perverts. That's the 1st chapter. That's quite a serenade. I mean, at times I have to read this book to find out how truly genteel I am. I mean, you know, occasional dam and jackass. I almost sound like a wimp by comparison. There'll be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert. 2nd chapter. Because a false brother and unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. The right to take a leak without being spied on. I mean, there's some things we Christians ought to be able to do. I mean, there ought to be something you can do without being feeling guilty. Some deacon's going to come in and poke his head out from under something. And then go tattle on you. Well, interesting book, this Galatians. I don't think I could ever get enough of it. Oh, foolish Galatians. 3rd chapter. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? Verse 12. Now let's try the 11th one. 3rd chapter, 11th verse. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Well, now whose sight counts? Yeah, but. That's what's wrong with the church. Too many buts. Just get free and here comes a but. I'm going to sit on you and suffocate the life out of you. Who wants to be a Christian? Live a life under a bunch of butts. You know, some people live 40 years under those butts. And they peek their head out and say, you got to come in here. You got to come in here to be saved. Now, just imagine that for a minute or two. But just think about that. Yeah, they are parked on every corner. First church about this and first church about that. Big butts, little butts. Yeah, it's like old McDonald's farm, but a butt butt here and a butt butt there, and her butt there, butt everywhere, butt butt. What's wrong with the church? They can't give you grace and peace. Got to give grace and peace, and then put you under a butt. Oh, I don't say you save a grace butt. Christ died for the ungodly, but. Isn't it wonderful to breathe free? You know, I used to have people call and say, do you realize how many friends I've lost since I come? I started listening to you. Under the butts. Leave them there. Now I say, 29th verse, ending of the third chapter, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to promise. Heirs according to promise. Not heirs according to performance. Not heirs under law, heirs according to promise. Now, you're going to get bored at this because it's old hat to you, all you free people. But I want to tell you there's a butt lurking behind every corner. And if you don't learn to recognize it before it gets upon you, man, there's no escape. You stay there, you get spiritual AIDS and die. That's an awful way to go. If ye be Christ, no but Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to promise. Well, what's that mean? Abraham's seed. What warning? I mean? Well, you got to back up a little. Verse 12. Verse 11, chapter 3. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For the just shall live by faith. Now the word just traces its roots back to straightness. And the law is not of faith. Now old James was trying to get on his pet hobby, everybody not show respect to persons. Particularly to prove they wouldn't show any respect to the people he didn't think should be respected. And he argued that if you show respect to persons, then to violate one element of the law is to violate all of it. Therefore, he's arguing that you shouldn't show respect to persons in order that you would be a keeper of the law. So you're not judged to be a murderer, an adulterer, which is also part of the law, and thereby guilty of all of it because you showed you deviated in this one little way he's hung up on, showing respect to persons. Now, Paul would never have argued that. He'd say, this kind of attitude, assuming it's a sin, is why you need grace. Because it is true. You offend one element of the law, you're guilty of all of it, so I'm not going to try to whip you on this particular one I'm focusing on to make you quit it, lest you be guilty of the rest of it. I'm telling you, going out the gate, this is just symptomatic of your condition. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. And cursed, 10th verse, is everyone that continueth in all things which are written in the book of the law, everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. This is a good but. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. What Paul is saying, don't motivate these poor, blind suckers into thinking that if they are nice to a poor person and insult a rich guy, they thereby have kept the law. Because it is evident that by the law, no man is justified in the sight of God. In James' eyes, you don't show respect to persons, and you're justified in his sight. Paul knows better. If you pass muster on that one, you're missing it on something else. And as Jesus pointed out to the Pharisees, God looks on the heart. And you hate somebody, it's as bad as if you murder them in God's eyes. Now, that doesn't give you a right to go out and murder somebody, but it gives you an understanding that by the law and the sight of God, it's evident no man is justified. How then can we be justified? Well, the law can't do it. The just shall live by faith. There's another avenue. Don't just think that God comes to help you intensify the attack on the same problem. It's an absolute, total, different road. It isn't bigger oranges or smaller oranges, it's apples. It's a different dimension of being in action. The just by faith shall live. You start preaching the James message, motivating people to eliminate some wrongdoing with the illusion that that increases their perfection. You have bewitched them. You've perverted them. How many of you out there have said, well, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. When I become a Christian, I'm going to do it, live it. You're stupid. Well, don't you live it? Hell no. Now, Christ occasionally breaks through and expresses himself through me more, I hope, today than years ago when I started. But any good in me comes from God and is his gift of the Spirit outworking through me. And whatever's bad in me is the old man that God loved enough to give his son for, to provide the basis of coming to dwell in me. And the hope of glory is that that good in me, which is from God, will continue to win some ground till I die, if I keep faithing. And one day this old man will lay down, and over there the new creation in Christ Jesus will be the one that endures. That's a gift. The church has totally perverted and caricatured the Christian walk by making any one of you think that efforts to improve your godly behavior saves you. Why don't they be honest and say, if you want to be on the deacon board in this church, you change your behavior? Well, that's all right. Just like putting your money in a blind trust, you want to be president. Doesn't save you. Just qualifies you for office. Well, is it qualifying you for God's office? No. You know, deacons have ceased being God's office for years. Deacons were servants in the New Testament. They're big shots. You can change the vowels around and come closer in the modern church. Now, some of you are just sure of which vowel I'd put in there. Don't judge me by yourself. Every sermon last Sunday from 99% of the church pulpits in America was telling you what to do to be a Christian in terms of deduced behavior from a law. And it creates the impression, well, if I do this, maybe I'll, if I be good, I'll be a Christian. No, you'll just be a good-looking, to some, sinner. Blinded in your self-performance, to whom Christ has become of no effect. You mean all these righteous works I've done all these years that gotten me the brownie points in the church world gets me nothing from God? You got it, friend. Makes him madder than hell at you, because you're crowding on Jesus' territory. Claiming, well, I'm insincere about this. Hell will be full of sincerely wrong people. Don't mean anything. Don't mean a damn thing. Don't mean anything. No man is justified by the law on the side of God. How then can James say, this is religion pure and undefiled, righteousness personified, visit the fatherless and the widows? He's a jerk. Old J.J. John the jerk. Bible says, he that addeth to this book or taketh away, cursed be him, more or less. That only applies to the book of Revelation. And the guy who wrote it under inspiration had never read the book of James. That verse only applies to the book of Revelation. Don't monkey around with the book of Revelation. Leave it intact.
Doesn't have a thing in the world to do with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, or James. Eusebius said James was spurious, and the Puritans took the Apocrypha out of the King James. So who's adding to and taking away? Oh, foolish Washingtonians, who hath bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatians, chapter 3, page 230, if you got a Bible like mine. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? You dumb jackasses, who led you astray? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you get the Spirit of God in you, which is the saving grace of God, because you qualified by doing works in obedience to the law? Or did you get the Spirit by the hearing of faith? You grabbed the promise of God to give it to you if you would act in faith. Now, how'd you get it? Are ye so foolish then, having begun in the Spirit? That's the way you got started, by the hearing of faith. Are you now made perfect or completed by the flesh or by fleshly efforts of rule conformity? Isn't it refreshing to follow Paul's logic in comparison to the jumbled up disconnects of James? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now going to be completed? That's what perfection means in this particular translation. By the flesh? You don't need God for somebody to beat you on the head and say, don't show respect to a man with a gold ring in your congregation. You just need smelly old John to threaten you. Is that going to save you now? Well, John said, you better do it, because if you don't do it, you're guilty of sin, and if you miss one jot and tittle of the law, you're also a murderer and adulterer too. Isn't that what he said? Huh?
Yes,
sir. You've been listening to me or not?
Yes, sir.
Well, the implication is then, if you would simply not commit that sin of showing respect among persons, you would then not be guilty of that sin, and you wouldn't therefore have suffered the consequence of being a murderer and adulterer too. There, for being guilty of the whole law. Isn't that the implication?
Yes, sir.
What a beanhead. He's a jerk. Harder and harder to love some damn jerkies. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain, let's hope it isn't, that you're going to listen to me and it won't be in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and doeth or worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law because he's perfect, or by the hearing of faith? Well, they're not going to pray for me unless he's perfect. Well, die, silly. Better have a cigar-smoking man of faith pray for you than a self-righteous, two-paid, self-styled, sinless monster. Even as Abraham, not born you, even as Abraham believed God. It's a form of pisteo, the Greek word, and it means to act on the belief sustained with the confidence that when God says something, He'll do it. It doesn't mean to have confidence that my performance of measured rules justifies me, but it is an action that is based upon the certainty that God, when He says something, His word is forever settled in heaven, and even a sinning, non-performing, in need of grace individual can reach up and say, I'm going to trust God, and it's counted unto him for righteousness. Zap. God puts a set of spectacles on and looks at you through Christ the minute you believe him. That's too easy. Try it. That's right. That just gets you started. Now tomorrow, you try. I believe God's going to keep his word and cleanse me of all unrighteousness and look at me as though I'm righteous. And you get up tomorrow morning and a truck lands on you. Well, you're okay. You're righteous. You were a failure till the truck landed on you. And as it squeezes away, you lose faith. Now you're unrighteous. You're what you are without faith. Too hot in here. Well, what in the world can I do? As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Well, but the truck's squeezing it out of me. Well, you ain't dead yet. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Well, I'm going to believe God. Bang, you're dead. In heaven, join air with Christ. You'd be thanking God for the truck. See, faith takes you all the way. It ain't easy, but it's the only way. It ain't easy, but it's possible. The law way, depending upon how you measure it out, poor old James seems to measure it out on the way you treat a rich man. If you measure it out with a limited intelligence, law may seem easy, but it's impossible. Faith is hard, but it's possible. Even as Abraham faithed God, and it, the faithing act, was counted to him for righteousness. Accounted is the word in the King James because it translates a Greek word that means imputed. Solely and totally an act of God imputing. The jury doesn't make you guilty or innocent. That's an existential reality. A jury imputes guilt or innocence. And once it's imputed that you are guilty or innocent, you are going to be treated on that basis, regardless of the existential truth. God is going to impute righteousness to us regardless of the existential reality that we fall short when we have faith. I've been on this for 10 years, but I still think some of you can't help but have the weight of tradition make you question it. Well, but I know if everybody knew everything I did today, thought and deed, I don't know if I'd be saved. God knows. And he wipes it all away, covers you with Christ, and imputes to you. There are people watching me that churches wouldn't let them inside the door. And those churches are full of people that went to sleep tonight, no more go to heaven than a Model A roadster. See, I didn't say animal because I'm not sure they don't make it. Can't believe God don't like dogs. And some person out there, so full of sin, the church dump on you, it'd take the whole church reciting for a year. Just get the list started. If you listening to God's word as I teach it, you don't have to do any of those things Jimmy Swaggart tells you to do.
Well, you ought to quit your sinning, I'm telling you, because God ain't going to let you sin.
God likes sinners. God likes sinners. If you didn't like sin, be like sinners. And God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ did.
Well, that may be true, everybody ain't no homosexual.
Oh, shut up. Jackass. It includes everybody. Women who commit abortions. Doctors who do it too. Homosexuals, heterosexuals, prostitutes, pimps, and preachers. I'll work my way up the scale as I go along. Any one of them. The Faith Act, the minute it happens, causes God to impute to that person Christ's righteousness and take the faith, and because of it, impute to that person who's faithing righteousness. That includes the one that shows respect to a man with a gold ring and doesn't visit the fatherless or the widows. It doesn't take faith to visit the fatherless or a widow. It doesn't take a bit of faith. I'm telling you, some preachers visit widows for anything but faith reasons. In fact, widows have been fair game in the church for a long, long time to some preachers. You know, you can visit the fatherless and the widows and go to hell. Well, but James says that's pure religion undefiled. James is a jerk. Am I boring you?
No,
you know, you can never visit a fatherless or a widow and have faith. No. You mean you can be saved not visit fatherless and widows? Yep. No. The Holy Spirit may lead people to visit the fatherless and the widow, but it doesn't make you righteous. The Holy Spirit may lead some people to visit those that have fathers and married people. They need visits too sometimes. You love Jesus?
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
I don't know anywhere in the Bible that Abraham ever visited the fatherless or the widows. Remember? He visited Hagar in her tent. But he didn't visit the fatherless and the widows. And I don't have a thing against fatherless and widows. I just want us to understand that charity doesn't save. I want us to understand that love doesn't save. And there are people who love that don't even know God. God's placed, as he placed a measure of faith in all people, the image of God includes some goodness in all people, includes a lot of capacities for evil too. I just want us to get it straight what saves. James is a jerk. And he's had his day for 2,000 years, and I have decided to take him on. He's full of it. Paul thought the Lord was coming every day. So he just, put up with the old jerk. I know the Lord won't come until at least the fall of 86, and that's too long to let him mouth around. I'm going to take old James on for the whole year.
Even as Abraham believed, faith God, and it, his faith, not visiting fatherless and widows, not showing respect to people with a ring on their finger, faith
was imputed to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, not visitors of the fatherless and the widows. Now I visit widows by television and teach them every night. They're safe that way. I don't have anything against doing good deeds. That doesn't save you. That's a damnable doctrine of perversion. We're talking about salvation, the gift of God, soterion, and eternal life. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Killers of the fatherless and widows, if you will, in some cases. God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. The scriptures preached before the gospel came unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many, it's Hanukkah time, you know. I want everybody to know I'm a child of Abraham. As many as are of the works of the law. That's what James wanted you to be. Of the works of the law. Live under the illusion that not showing respect to persons, for example, would keep you from being guilty of all the law, thereby being judged a murderer and adulterer too, even though you didn't do it. By the works, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That means if James succeeded in motivating you into believing that treating the rich the way he wants you to treat them and the poor the way he wants you to treat them, you would thereby be keeping the law and not be guilty of all of it. As many as followed James's teaching are under the curse. Isn't it? You find any fallacy in what I'm saying?
No, sir.
But it's in the Bible.
Well, so was the apocryphal book, and they took them out. By the way, the word Bible comes from Biblos, a heathen place. Right there in Lebanon. You ever been to Biblos, any of you? It's a heathen place, were they? It's a heathen place. Worship Baal.
Well, I'll never!
Probably not. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. When any one of these television evangelists gets you to believe that claptrap, that adding the deeds and coming under their fulminations and selling your tobacco farm and getting rid of your cigarettes, and your beer and your pack of cards, and stopping doing all these things that they either don't know how to do and are envious of, or in their mental midget state, have decided that that's the sole thing that God is occupied with removing. If they succeed with their preaching, they make a lawkeeper out of you. Well, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. For it's written, everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Well, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, that's too bad, ain't it? Go to hell, ignorant. It ain't my problem. I'm telling you, go ahead and smoke. You and God work it out. But when we start preaching salvation by the law, you got to keep it all, friend. Cursed is he that continueth not in all things that are written in the law. Well, that doesn't include those. Well, my friend, where does the law come from? If you're going by law, it's all or nothing. I like grace. I'm teaching on James and Paul. James the jerk, Paul the apostle. James says, chapter 2, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not partial? Then he accuses them. Ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But, under the butt again, if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. What he is saying is, you show respect to persons, under the law you have been convicted, judged, sinner. Isn't that what he's saying? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. What he's saying is, true. You violate one part of the law, you're judged guilty of all of it. And he's arguing to these poor, beaten-down Christians, you better not show respect to persons, because the law says that's a sin. And if you do that, you're convicted of sin under the law. And you better quit doing it, because having done that, you're also guilty as a murderer and adulterer. He's trying to motivate them to change their performance and abide by the law. In this case, he thinks they're no danger of committing murder or adultery. He hadn't even listened to a thing Jesus said. You've heard it said unto you, thou shalt not commit adultery. But behold, I say unto you, if you lust in your heart, you're as guilty as the one who's done it. That's James the jerk. Most television preachers camp in his tent. Paul says, Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 3, I'll get to 5. As many as are of the works of the law, including the one that James was laying on him, are under the curse. And the curse is, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. Now, there are people out there scared to death of this message. You're going to turn people loose for license. I'm going to liberate people into faith. And the power of God's going to change them. They're not going to have this surface window dressing. But people are going to be changed at the core and become new creations in Christ Jesus when I can break this bondage of law that's on them. I'm tired of these preachers camping out on things that are not even Scripture against. I mean, where is James's authority for what he's condemning? But be that as it may, I'm tired of these preachers every Sunday laying it on you. You're going to hell if you don't stop smoking, stop dancing. That's a bunch of crap. But if it's true, they are motivating you that doing these little limited versions of law saves you, or puts you in good standing with God, or one-ups you on the other Christians. You can stop smoking. But Leviticus chapter 12, why doesn't he preach on this? If you're going to preach law, preach the whole law. If a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean, and in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. You heard any sermons on that lately? Huh? Now we got these 4 hotel maids and stable tenders, and we're all shaking hands with people. We don't know what kind of issue they're hiding from us. I mean, you know, a man can't even go out. It's dangerous. Oh, come on, you're straining out gnats. That's right. Law's full of gnats. You gotta deal with both the gnats and the camels. Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. You ever ordered your meat rare lately? Just might as well not given up cigarette smoking. Yeah, I love reading the law. It's just really entertaining. Makes me really feel good about what God is. Do you realize how tough it'd be to get to heaven if this is the way you had to do it? Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Well, I thought the law was the Ten Commandments. Somebody that was a jerk taught you that. I just want to really finish this sort of tonight. Because that's what James is arguing. James is arguing that you got to keep this. I mean, to keep from being guilty of it all, you got to keep these things. No sin's going to be allowed in the house of the Lord. Well, most of you aren't cattle raisers. So you can get by this. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. I mean, you can't sow some alfalfa in the orchard. I'm just hunting a little, picking a little bit, you know. There's page after page about nakedness and adultery and all that kind of stuff. We got all these Sabbath days and feast days and offerings, year of Jubilee. All that's part of the law. You got to keep all of this, man. You got to memorize this whole damn book. You can't miss one of them. I'm just looking for some of them that they don't preach about very often. There's one about casting your carcasses. I'll skip that. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Can I keep hunting some of these laws that these lawmongers sort of don't pay much attention to? There's one about if you find your neighbor's ox in a ditch. Here's one. If there be among you a poor man, of one of thy brethren with any of thy gates in the land, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. It's an absolute law. Every one of us that have anything have to go, and every poor man that we see in our land, we got to loan him what he needs. I think that's good socialistic charity. I'm not just being funny tonight. I want you to get your gestalt. You got to do it all. Everything in this law, all of it, you got to do. You got to keep the three great feasts. You got laws concerning wars, concerning unsolved murders. Now here's Deuteronomy 22. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. I want you to catch the gestalt of this, friend. You can't get away with this oversimplifying legalism. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Now, I've heard that one preached dozen, dozen times. Then one of these television evangelists wouldn't pray for a woman wearing pantsuit or jeans. Doesn't matter, it was made for a woman. They love to pick this one out. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Well, the verse in front of it says, thou shalt not see thy brother's ass fall down by the way and hide thyself from him, from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift him up again. Same context. You shouldn't, it's not right to pray for the woman coming forward wearing a pantsuit or jeans, then you make sure that those who come for prayer didn't drive down the freeway and see a stalled car and pass it. Stay with me now. If the woman can't be in the congregation wearing, you know, they're too ignorant to know that, pantsuits are not that which pertaineth to a man. They're made for women. I've never seen anybody go to a woman's store and buy women's slacks and wear them as a man. Except in drag. You staying with me now?
Yes, sir.
Both Paul and James are correct when they say that if you are going to live by the law, you have to keep it all. Paul is saying, ain't any of it. You're not going to be saved by keeping any of it. It is evident the law can't save anybody. It's a losing case, friend. Therefore, Paul says the just shall live by faith. I'm giving you another way to go. But ignoramus, jerky James is still motivating people and says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. You know who made the decision to put James in this book? Gave them that criteria, that authority. Luther said it was a tacky little book. Eusebius said it was considered spurious till the 4th century. I'm tired of James being dumped on us by these midget-minded idiots that think God gave the King James Version to Moses on Mount Sinai. James is motivating the illusion that if you keep these limited set of rules, and he argues from these limited set of rules, you violate one of them, God's going to view you as a murderer and adulterer. Well, he's right. If that's the law, you violate one of them, you're guilty of all of them. Thou shalt not smoke, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not breathe. Well, if that's the way to go to heaven, you've got to take these in too. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down with the way and hide thyself from him. Thou shalt surely help him to lift him up again. That means, and then the next line says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. So the woman comes up in a pair of slacks, and the TV evangelist won't pray for her. But he doesn't check to see if the three people behind him came in a station wagon, went by, right by a guy whose car was stalled on the highway and didn't stop to help him. His horsepower's in a ditch. Now, I will pray for both of them. Because you're not saved by not wearing slacks if you're a woman or pulling a guy's ass up. That's law, friend, and none of that's going to save you. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. How does a television evangelist know the guy that's wearing a three-piece suit isn't wearing a pair of lace panties? See, man looketh on the outward. God looks on Now, the next verse after the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, 6th verse. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. I never heard any sermons on going hunting and killing a hen pheasant out of season. Oh, I've heard people say, you know, you don't break the law. By this law, you better think twice if you ran over a bird or a pheasant that ran across the road that might have been a hen, might have had a nest on the side. I'm not sending you hell for doing that. I'm just saying, every jot and tittle of the law. You start making people think they're going to get saved if they quit smoking and quit dancing and quit breathing and quit doing this and quit doing that. You got to go all the way, friend. You're preaching law. And you got to do it all or nothing. Well, now build us a new house. Then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. Now that evangelist that won't pray for a woman wearing man's clothing, as he views it, can't pray for anybody unless he checks first that the roofs of their houses are such, if somebody slips and falls on that roof, there's something to catch him. He won't fall all the way off. You really think that every stiff-necked, self-righteous, legalistic Christian has bought or rented houses and built battlements on them so if somebody's up there on the roof and slips, they can't fall off the roof, they'll be caught? There ain't nothing in the Bible says thou shalt not smoke. But you're not supposed to build a house or live in a house that has a roof that somebody can slip and fall off of, according to the law. Well, see, I believe you can go to heaven with aluminum roofs that you slide off like a greased pig. Because battlements on the roof don't save you. Faith saves you. Wearing man or woman's clothes doesn't save you or take you to hell. Faith saves you. But if you're going to motivate people to keep these rules, one single jot and tittle, no matter how ignorant you were that it was there, missed, you're guilty of all of it. Every one of these legalistic preachers, if they got a roof you can fall off of, are guilty of murder and adultery. Old James. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Now, the law is better than some of these preachers. You can grow a vineyard and make wine as long as you don't sow something else in the vineyard. They've changed it. You can sow anything you want as long as you don't drink wine. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. That very same evangelist that says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and won't pray for her. I wonder if he examines the garments of everybody else to see if there's wool and linen mixed. I mean, how does he know you're not wearing a wool suit and linen shorts? Come on, let's use our heads a little bit here, which is not supposed to happen in Christianity. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four borders or quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. Well, I haven't seen Jimmy Swaggart wear fringes on his garments once. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, if we're going to make the woman take her trousers off, then he's going to put the fringes on. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
I've never seen any of these thunder and brimstone TV evangelists wearing fringes on their four quarters. Have you?
No, sir.
Well, then let them leave the women alone in their pants. I got a little word of advice for some of you women that hang around preachers that constantly rap on this subject. You better wear men's clothing. It's harder to get to you. They're the dangerous kind. Those preachers are always harping on that subject. They know what their weakness is. You may say, are you serious? You're damn right I am. I think I'll skip the next part. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. I haven't heard a sermon on that year. I mean, you know, these poor women come up there wearing pantsuits and they won't pray for them. Let's examine their privy and their stones and see if they're wounded or cut off. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Deuteronomy 23. Now, we had the 22nd verse here. The woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. They love, these television evangelists love beat on that one. Well, let's try 23rd verse. 23rd chapter, first verse. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That means these guys that had a sex change can't get saved. Verse 2, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That means next time Jimmy Swaggart turns to that woman that's wearing a pantsuit and says, I won't pray for you because you're wearing that which pertaineth to a man, you ask him if he checked the 10 generations on the next person he prays for to see if he's got a bastard, if he's a descendant of a bastard back 10 generations. So he's reading the King James, friend. Illegitimate. How many of you know your family tree on all sides back for 10 generations? All the way back. Well, now you may know them. You know that none of them are illegitimate? If there's one illegitimate one, I wonder if Jimmy Swaggart's checked his family tree recently. If there's one illegitimate in that family tree for 10 generations, you can't enter into the congregation of the Lord. You can't even go to church, much less go up there and be prayed for. You mean I could listen to this preacher and quit smoking and watching TV and dancing and drinking Coca-Cola and going to movies and not know it that about 9 generations back one of my greaty 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 granddaddies was an illegitimate son of a you know what? And I have violated the law by going into the congregation with somebody illegitimate 10 generations back. And now that means I'm murdering, adultering, and might as well have kept smoking. I'm telling you, James and his whole crowd can have the law. I don't want it. I'm with Paul. I mean, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. For as many as are of the works of the law, 10th verse, 3rd chapter, are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That includes all those things I just read, and I could read from now until daylight and would only start denting the surface. That's what these perverts are doing to the church world, laying their trip of legalistic do's and don'ts on you. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Nobody can keep all those rules. And if you miss one of them, you're judged guilty of them all. The sin of the whole is imputed to you for one deviation. There ain't nobody running around and knows all the rules. Thanks be to God. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The minute you make this your way of doing, you've stepped out from under the grace of God. Christ hath redeemed us. He paid the purchase price to free us from that bondage to that slave master which is the law, the price of his own blood, a perfect life poured out, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, not through our works, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What a way to go. What a way to go. Aren't some of these preachers a bunch of crap heads? They're not going to shut me up. I'm going to keep setting people free. You want me to continue? Now, I want you to play. I want you... Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth her attitude. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that God made, that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And he promised it to Abram and seed, singular, Christ. The promise. Abraham was before the law, and Christ fulfilled it, became the law incarnate, and took it to death. That promise to Abram, who was before, and his son, the seed, which fulfilled it, put it to death, and rose again beyond it, cannot be annulled by that little law period in between. And we are not servants of the law. We are joint heirs with Christ, being placed by God in Christ because of our faith, and the law is of none effect to us. Thanks be to God. And will you let these dumb heads stop lifting it off the cross and bringing the stinking thing out of the grave and laying it on you again? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and don't let some descendant of James the Jerk disallow and annul what God provided in Christ. Be free. Join me with the rest of the children of the free in the King's House Sunday. I've taught for a while. I think I deserve to get a response. Your Belinda. Still up here. Congratulations. You did not make the boring list. Prince Charles, Princess Di, Jerry Falwell, and seven others did. Glendale, my mind was so messed up with these lawkeeper teachers, I didn't realize how messed up I was till I heard Doc. That's the positive change in me. Muskogee, Oklahoma, listening on 1430 AM. I've been watching him for a week, and all I have to say is that it's about time somebody preached that message. Wichita, Kansas, where did you get your title from? PhD, Philosophies of Education, Stanford University. Santa Ana, that last hour has been the best teaching you've ever laid on us. Well, okay, I'm glad. Dallas, Texas, they know how to say it straight. That's damn good teaching, Doc. North Virginia, first time watcher, woke up to light wood burning stove. Turned the TV on and caught you. Been a backslider, but not no more. Gonna keep watching. Nice to know that there are some pragmatic Christians. Is there a church locally in my area like yours? Nope, you gotta watch me. Woodbridge, Virginia. I've been an agnostic for 35 years, and this man's the only one to make any sense. San Francisco. I was watching. I have a jacket that has linen and wool. I thought it was interesting. Dr. Scott, Green Bay, Wisconsin. I've been watching you for a while, but you really knocked me out of my socks tonight. I did. Are they linen and wool? Please keep on teaching. Arlington, Texas. I never seen this show before. I'm thrilled. My favorite bumper sticker is the moral majority is neither. Norfolk, Virginia. She's babysitting. What's your coat size? Oh, 122, I think. Denton, Texas. I want to thank Dr. Scott for tonight's message. I needed it, and I'll start to fade immediately. Dallas, Texas, if tonight's program was put on prime time, he could change the whole nation.